The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's our first show back from vacation. Tony, did you go anywhere nice?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Downstairs? Does that count? I went downstairs a few times, yeah.
It's been a while, but you got a nice downstairs. You got a very nice downstairs.
No, it's nice. I actually did go. I went to North Carolina and South Carolina.
A little golf time. Golfing. Uh-huh.
Not golf in Washington anymore. Got 8 inches in my house. No more golf for a while. Welcome to PTI 2022, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Cardinals beat the Cowboys, the Bengals beat the Chiefs, and the college playoff games stunk. But we begin today with the playoff picture in the NFC. The Packers clinched the top seed yesterday by routing Minnesota. After them, there's a jumble. The Rams had to come from behind late to beat Baltimore. Tampa Bay had to come from behind late to beat the Jets and lost Antonio Brown in the process. Man overboard. The Cardinals and the Cowboys played off and Arizona won in Dallas. Wilbon, other than Green Bay, which of these NFC teams do you trust?
Tony, not Tampa. And I know people want to say, wait a minute, they're the defending champs. Not them. And it's not just because Antonio Brown. And people might notice, we're not devoting an entire segment or two or three on this show to Antonio Brown, who's a nuisance. And I do wish him well and whatever, if he needs help in getting it, and fine. But not this show. Not more Antonio Brown and not Tampa. And for me, Tony, I think it's your Rams. I'm coming over to your side of the street. The Rams seem to have weathered it. They went to a little rope-a-dope in the middle rounds. And now we've gotten to, you know, like what? Round used to be 15 rounds. So now we're in like 12 or 13. And the Rams look to have weathered the attack of others and themselves when they sort of imploded. So I'm going to go Rams after the Green Bay Packers. No, I don't trust Arizona, the Cardinals, yet. I want to. I root for them.
Right.
But I'm going to go Rams.
Right. So I was at the Rams at the beginning of the season because of the trade. And I had them in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. And I'm more or less still stuck with them. But I will tell you where I was wrong. I said Matthew Stafford would be the MVP. And he's not going to be the MVP. Mike, he keeps both teams in the game. He
yes.
had a pick six yesterday, his fourth of the year. In terms of comparisons, Aaron Rodgers has had three in his entire career. So it's a little dicey for me with the Rams. Now, I will say that Stafford was really good when he had to be really good. You discount Tampa Bay, and I do not, and I'm going to explain why. Tom Brady went the length of the field with about 2 minutes to go and no timeouts. He did it without
Godwin. Because the Jets
Godwin.
Were stupid.
He did it without Fournette.
The Jets Fournette. Were morons.
Doesn't matter. He got the ball and he did it. He did it without Godwin, without Fournette, and obviously without Antonio Brown. My position on Brady is very simple. You'd have to be crazy. Anyone with functioning brain cells cannot discount the possibility of Tampa Bay winning as long as Tom Brady stays upright. And I'm just going to take 20 seconds on Antonio Brown because I think I want to cover it to say this about him. Three people have said to him in the last X amount of time, Antonio Brown is no longer on this team.
That's
one of
right.
them
Get
is
out.
Mike Tomlin, who I think is going to go to the Hall of Fame. One of them is Bill Belichick, who I know is going to go to the Hall of Fame. And one of them is Bruce Arians, who, like the other two, has a Super Bowl ring to his credit. Antonio Brown should embroider this on a pillow. Antonio Brown is no longer on this team. I would like to be sympathetic with him as well, Mike,
yeah.
but he is the author of his own book.
Yes.
He is.
Yes, he is. And I don't want him sort of taking hostage of this show today with this behavior. I
agree.
With him.
But
fatigue,
because
total fatigue.
It's him and Kyrie Irving, Mike. They're
yeah,
bad
yeah.
teammates. Big talents,
they'll take
bad
they'll take
teammates.
You hostage. They will. Let's move to the AFC, Tony, where the Bengals beat the Chiefs in the headline game of the afternoon. Ja'Marr Chase, wow. He had 11 catches for 266 yards and three scores in Cincinnati's win. Among the other top teams, the Titans took temporary control of the number one seed by taking care of the Dolphins. The Patriots crushed the Jaguars, and the Bills beat the Falcons. So, Tony, how do you now see the top of the AFC?
I have to admit I was surprised when on my television it said that Tennessee was the number one seed. I did not expect that in the absence of Derrick Henry. I thought they'd been sort of stumbling along in the absence of Derrick Henry. Now, if he comes back for the playoffs and they got home field, you know, they're going to be formidable. I still lean to Kansas City. And I know that Kansas City lost at Cincinnati yesterday, and that's a game they could have won. I find it impossible to still believe that the Cincinnati coach kept going on fourth down and didn't kick the field goal and still won that game.
Unreal.
Now, I've sat here, Mike. I've told you how much I like Joe Burrow, and I think he's going to be great. Yeah. I'm way out on a limb on this one, but it's possible. The Joe Burrow to Chase,
that
may be Montana to Rice. It's possible. Okay. But they're
all
not
right.
ready this year, Mike.
Not now.
They're not
right.
ready.
Not now.
I still lean to Kansas City.
Yeah, I think I do too. And Tony, they all stumbled. Kansas City stumbled early and then stumbled into a streak. And now, I don't know what yesterday means. Excuse me, with Cincinnati. Tone, you cannot trust the Bengals. That's why I said hold on when I thought you were going to go Bengal Tiger on me. You can't.
No.
Tony, the last time the Bengals won a playoff game, I covered it. It was 1991. And just looking at the year, I don't remember the details, but my dear friend Boomer Esiason had to be the quarterback because they were coming off an appearance in the Super Bowl. So you can't count on them. I think it's Cincinnati, but I'm not. I mean, I'm sorry. I think it's Kansas City, but I'm not certain. Tony, just 5 weeks ago, the Ravens were 8-3. And that stupid football index, that piece of junk, said they were a 93% chance to go to the playoffs. And today that same thing says they're 3%. So I don't want to hear about the football index. I don't hear about that junk. But I think Kansas City, New England, I know they beat up on, you know, they beat up on an awful, awful, awful team. So yesterday says nothing to me from their win, even though they did what they're supposed to do.
See, Mike, I want to go off the board a little bit. And I would normally go off the board to Baltimore, but they keep losing all these close games and they're out. I look at New England. But I got taken off New England by what Buffalo did to them in New England. And I got taken off Buffalo by what New England did to them in Buffalo. Now, I will spend 10 seconds on a team that amazes me. And they have a chance to make the playoffs. They're not going to win the playoffs. But it's the Raiders. They were dissolving, Mike.
Yeah.
They had lost 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
And they went at Cleveland and won. They beat Denver, you know, a divisional opponent. And then at Indy, that's a big win. So just polite applause. They got a chance if they beat San Diego or whatever they call themselves, they can get in the playoffs.
Right.
They can do
polite
it.
Polite applause, except it seemed like to me yesterday, every time I clicked, and I click a lot because I don't watch only the Red Zone. I try to watch some of the games. Every time I clicked, somebody was reporting, and thank God it wasn't election night, somebody was reporting that the Raiders are in, that they're in.
No,
they're not in.
They're not in.
What are people doing?
In.
You know, we criticize other industries. I'm saving some criticism for this industry. Don't tell me the Raiders are
Chargers,
in on every network and they're not in.
Winner is in. Raiders Chargers Sunday night. Winner is in.
Winner is
out.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Every football broadcast yesterday in the NFL at large paid tribute to John Madden, who died during last week. Now, Mike, I know you have particular thoughts about what Madden meant to pro football.
I do, Tony, and I think John Madden is the most important figure. I could say modern history of pro football. I mean, I think in the history of pro football, and I understand there are men like George Halas who founded the team that I follow my whole life, and Curly Lambeau, and great coaches and you know, and people like Don Shula and people who were inventive like Paul Brown and Jim Brown. And I mean, there are people that you just go, wait a minute, don't get crazy. But he had the greatest winning percentage in the history of coaches, John Madden. So for those 10 seasons he coached the Raiders, they were great. And Tony, then he goes right to the booth. He took no time off. He goes right to the booth, and he and Pat Summerall become the voices of your Sunday. If it's not John Facenda, which it was in my youth, then it becomes Coach Madden. And then, you know, he has the video game, which is in my house. I said to my son, my 13-year-old son, do you know who John Madden is? He goes, of course, John Madden's right here. And I go, no. No, there's more. You got to listen. You got to watch some tributes to John Madden. That's what we're going to do as a father-son today. Who's more impactful? He didn't talk about the single high safety and switch it into the zone off the man. He say, doink. Doink is John Madden's. That belongs to him. He created words. He didn't give you just this insane stuff that you couldn't figure out because you're not watching football film. He talked to the person who was watching the game that Sunday. He was just lordly to me. I have always been in awe of John Madden.
He demystified the game. He explained it so that all of us could understand it. He poked holes in it, and he obviously loved it. When you got done with a broadcast from John Madden, you were filled with joy. That's what he was. I want to separate play-by-play guys from other guys in a booth. And I know how this works because I was in a booth for a while. Play-by-play guys have a very specific role. They take you from point A to point B. It always comes back to them. The greatest play-by-play guys in the world, Al Michaels, Brent Musburger, Marv Albert, Jim Nance, they take you from point A to point B. So let's move them to the side for a second. Let's talk about everybody else in the booth. To me, the most important guy who was ever in a booth was Howard Cosell, because he changed America's viewing habits, the way they looked at sports. It went from just the game to the game plus entertainment. This was a calculation by Rune Arledge, and it was perfectly executed. And right next to Cosell is John Madden. Almost half the people, Mike, that tuned in to Cosell tuned in because they didn't like Cosell. Everybody loved John Madden.
Loved him. Nobody disliked
Howard Cosell
him.
Nobody could look at Howard Cosell and call him everyman. But John Madden was an everyman. The mistake that people make with John Madden is because he presented himself as sort of a bumpkin that they thought, well, he's not that bright. He was so smart.
Yes.
He was ahead of everything, Mike. He was ahead of the other coaches, ahead of the other broadcasters, and he got in on the game thing before any of us knew what was going on. He made every right move, and he's a treasure. He's a treasure. Let's take a break. Coming up, what did we learn from the hours we invested into Friday's college football playoff games? We learned we were stupid.
I should have slept. And which of DeMar DeRozan's weekend buzzer beaters I watched live was more impressive? They're both impressive.
All right, I watched on tape. I've watched on tape so I can answer. Right?
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's mail time. You do the work, we make the money. Let me see what's first.
Mail time!
Here we go. I'm going to need glasses to read it because I wrote it myself. What did you learn from Friday's college football playoff semifinal games?
Tony, I think first for me, and I watched, you know, every minute of these games for the first half, and then I bailed. The first thing I learned, and the most important thing, is expansion would be a massive mistake, meaning expansion of the college football playoff to whatever they're talking about, 8 teams or 12, a massive mistake. These games are blowouts. They are not competitive. Now, you made a great point to me on the phone, which was, wait a minute now. If you have other games, maybe your 4-5 matchup and you get more competitive games. Tony, I will grant you that. I think that's a perfectly legit point. But, Tone, I can't invest in these games until they get closer. There's that. And then there's the SEC is so far and away better. It's a reminder that John Harbaugh, he has nothing. He has a great team. They beat Ohio State. They won the Big Ten.
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim, I'm sorry. He can't get to the SEC teams. He can't get to Alabama. He can't even get to Georgia. But the expansion, Tone, any expansion is a big mistake.
Well, I would go to 8. I would never go more than 8. I would go to 8, but I would put a rider in there that you do not guarantee the Pac-12 a spot, because I believe they're 0-5 in bowl games. Okay? I want to hear about the Pac-12. And another thing I don't want to hear about people complaining that the SEC does not schedule tough games outside of the conference. What this showed you was they don't have to, because their conference is that good. Cincinnati deserved a chance. They beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and they didn't belong in the company. Michigan deserved a chance. Harbaugh went for it on fourth down. I think the first possession, down 7-0, didn't get it. Then it's 14. The game's over, Mike.
Here's nothing.
Game's over
he
in the first
leave.
Quarter.
By the way, Tony, he should leave. Mail. He should go to his other alma mater, the one that drafted him, because talent allocation is more evenly distributed in the NFL. And so if Harbaugh gets a call from Lake Forest, Illinois, he should go.
Well, that's what you wanted for years. That's what you wanted
for
years.
Yeah, but then I waited.
Which of DeMar DeRozan's – wait, I'm asking something for you. Which of DeMar DeRozan's two weekend buzzer beaters was more impressive?
Well, of course, the first one was against Indiana, and it was sort of a bad possession because he's got the ball out there and they don't pass it, they don't move it, and he takes a shot, a guy who's like a 24% three-point shooter for his career, although he's been better this year, and he nails this, and in my house, there's absolute screaming at the top of our lungs as if this was an NBA Finals. The second one with Kispert going for the pump fake and Bradley Beal getting a hand in front of him, that's the answer. Look at, I mean, it's Bradley Beal. It's no scrub, and DeMar DeRozan goes up and drains it back-to-back days, first time ever in the history of the NBA back-to-back days. Second time to Larry Bird, and I think 86. First time back-to-back games. I mean, this guy's the MVP candidate. If he's not in your top five, it's because you're not paying attention. DeMar DeRozan, thank you very much.
I'm really happy for you because the Bulls are good, and they're better than everybody thought, and they're better than you thought.
Except Charles and
DeMar
Shaq.
DeRozan is having a wonderful season. And DeMar DeRozan, it makes you wonder, well, why did Toronto get rid of him? You go, oh, wait, because they won a championship by getting rid of him and bringing in Kawhi Leonard. I did not watch this live because for the last 60 years of my life, like most people, between Christmas and New Year's, I'm watching football. But I saw it on tape, and I will disagree with you. I was more impressed against Indiana because, I'm going to tell you, it ended up being a one-handed push shot from the 1950s because he almost ran out of time. It was such an awkward shot that for me, it was actually more impressive.
Two guys on the Wizards. Two Wizards.
I understand, but,
beat him.
But he went between them and he had a clean look. Enough email. Let's take one last break. Still to come, did Giants coach Joe Judge help his cause with his 11-minute monologue?
No, he helped nothing. And we have a planned date for Kyrie Irving's return to the court. Wow, we just can't wait for that. Why were there so many Chicago fans in Washington for that game? Did you see the crowd rise when he hit the shot?
Why does the NCAA play bowl games after the semifinals? Why do they dilute their product
like this? They should schedule them before.
Why?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 41st birthday, Eli Manning. Manning won two Super Bowls as quarterback of the New York Football Giants, both over Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. It may not be a coincidence that the Giants have stunk since first benching Eli and then letting him retire. But Eli has found new success with his brother Peyton doing their family version of Monday Night Football. There's no question that Peyton is the star, but Eli has found a way to gently needle his older brother and establish himself as a big personality and a critical element of the show.
It's great counterpunching on Eli's part when he teases his brother about eating and the way he does it. And the excerpt, Tony, they show to promote that segment. And I love it. When he says to Tom Brady, "Tom, I enjoyed all of our games we played against each other." I mean, Eli really has come into his own and found his niche on this show, yes. And it is wonderful.
Happy anniversary, Frank Reich. On this day, 29 years ago, the Buffalo Bills found themselves down by 32 points early in the third quarter of their first-round playoff game against the Houston Oilers. Reich, who had replaced the injured Jim Kelly, threw a pick six to start that third quarter. But Reich turned it all around, eventually completing 21 passes for 289 yards and four touchdowns, and the Bills rallied for a 41-38 overtime win. That's still the biggest comeback in NFL history. At Maryland, Reich once led the Terrapins back from a 31-0 deficit to a 42-40 victory over the U.
I was there, Tony, covering that game, 31-0 at halftime. Frank Reich was coming off injury. He had to come back in the game. He hadn't been playing in previous weeks. I think Stan Gelbaugh had. And Frank Reich, I couldn't make it for the weather purposes. I couldn't get to the Houston-Buffalo game. But after the game, I did something insane. I called the Buffalo locker room because I was there for the first comeback. I wanted to talk to Frank. I knew he would come to the phone. I said, "Can I speak to Frank Reich? And somebody said, "Are you nuts?" Reich was on the phone in 20 seconds, and he goes, "Where the hell are you?" He didn't say hell because Reich doesn't curse.
That's great.
And we talked all about it. Frank Reich, one of the great people I have ever dealt with in 40 years of covering sports. Love him to death.
And melancholy trails to Sam Jones and Dan Reeves. Jones was a Hall of Famer and the archetypal shooting guard. He was on 10 NBA championship teams with Bill Russell on the Boston Celtics and was best known for consistently hitting bank shots from odd side court angles. Reeves was a running back on one Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl champion and assistant on another. As a head coach, Reeves took the Denver Broncos with John Elway to 3 Super Bowls and the Atlanta Falcons to another. They passed away during the holiday week. Jones was 88 years old. Reeves was 77.
Tom, don't tell me Reeves doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. He does. I know he had a great quarterback. So did all those other coaches who were in the Hall of Fame. Dan Reeves, to me, is a Hall of Fame coach. And Sam Jones, and Sam Jones lived in Greater Washington, D.C., where we have for a long time. I got to play golf with him because he was friends with my father-in-law. And just hear stories about the Celtics and Red Auerbach and Bill Russell and playing with those guys in those decades. It just, I mean, these are two guys that it just saddens me to lose both of them. All-time greats, both of them.
One era, Wilbon said Larry Bird had back-to-back buzzer beaters in 1986. It was 1985, and one admission, Oklahoma quarterback Gonzaga's own Caleb Williams entering the transfer portal very, very quickly.
He looked good in purple.
They're almost out of time already. Let's go. Kyrie Irving planning to return to the court on Wednesday. Big deal?
Yes. The Eagles beat the football team. Is that significant?
Yeah, still alive for the playoffs. Robert Quinn broke the Bears sack record held by Richard Dent, your boy with his 18th. Impressed?
Dent, one of the all-time greats. Yes, Giants coach Joe Judge, an 11-minute answer as to why fans should believe in his team. Is that effective?
That's a filibuster. He'll still lose his job. Last one, Monday Night Football, Browns and Steelers. Who you got? Who you got?
Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's last game, Steelers.
Out of time. Try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Last game at home, at least.